بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. In the last quarter of the 21st juz, then going into the 22nd juz of the Quran Kareem, which was recited last night. The name of the surah is Al-Ahzab. It is the plural of Hizbun. Hizbun means a group, a small army. Ahzab means the armies. This was that battle in Islam which whoever has gone to Medina Munawwara and went for Ziyarat, he would know it as the battle of the trench. It was the time when the Muslims were forced. Medina Munawwara is such that it already had a natural surrounding protection from three sides. The land was such that the enemy were not going to come from three. There was only one way that the enemy could launch a major attack. From the one side of Medina Munawwara, there was a pass into Medina. But that pass was very narrow. So you can't bring an army in, moving at a fast pace and making a sudden attack. So that was like no-no. If the enemy is coming, they will have to come slowly on that pass and it will be very easy to push them back. There was one place from which the enemy could come. And war at that time was that if you come with your horses fast, then the soldiers who are standing in the first line, you might manage to pass them and cause a lot of havoc inside the city. A lot of planning took place in this, that in Medina Munawwara there was pacts already made with the Jews. So trusting that the Jew will live up to that promise, there was no need to worry about the back of Medina. But the enemy had already made a deal with the Jews that when the attack is launched, then from behind you will also join. And the Muslims will be like sandwiched. The Jews had then called the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah. That was the Jews now that was outside already. They were banished. They spoke to the ones who were inside and then they spoke to the Quraysh. Now how amazing it is that the Quraysh of Makkah, they worshipped idols. And the Jews, they according to them worshipped Allah. And an idol worshipper and the worshipper of Allah can never go together. Rather, you worship Allah, I also worship Allah. So me and you are closer as brothers. You worship Allah how Musa alayhi salam taught, but you worship Allah. I am worshipping how Allah's Nabi, final Nabi taught, but I am worshipping an Allah. They worshipping idols. But kufr is one. When the time comes for enmity against Islam, they forget all their politics, all their differences. So at that time the Quraysh, they were even so courageous to say to the Arabs, to the Jews, that first you all must tell us that what is better, what the Muslims are worshipping or what we worshipping. And for them, they said, what you worshipping is better. They had no issue. Forget all our politics, when we have to unite, they all unite. And that was why it was the need of the trench, that if they're going to launch that attack, then there'll be no way that we will protect the people of Medina. So Sahaba went front. They never even thought that maybe the woman that we are leaving behind will need protection, because there was only the Jews more further behind. And the enemy were not going to come through that pass. And even if they had to start coming, it was thought that the Jews now will warn the Muslims. But how much they had planned. From every side the Muslims were taken. What is the purpose of the surah Al-Ahzab? The purpose of the surah was to show that the selected of Almighty Allah go through exams and the rest of the world also go through exams. Another verse of Quran sums it up so unique. فَإِنَّهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ كَمَا تَعْلَمُونَ وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. That you must remember they also suffer like how you have to suffer. They means the rest. Those that don't have iman also go through winter, you also will see winter. The mosquito also bites them, it also bites you. They also see poverty, you might also see. Death also visits them, it also visits you.
So in this world, whether you are Allah's beloved or you are Allah's hated, this world comes with its thorns. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. But you can have a hope in Allah which they can't have. We got a hope that after death everything becomes easy. For them death is the end. For us death is the answer, for them death is the disaster. We can say that to get out of my problems I just have to pull to death. They can't say anything. They have to say to get out of problems I have to pull away from death. And that is impossible. As we get older, we can smile more. When they get older, they have to frown more. Because for us, our future is coming. For them, there is no future. وَتَرْجُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَرْجُونَ. As for exams, the exam can become so difficult. It can become so hot. Allah Ta'ala said, O people of Iman, remember the favor of Allah. إِذْ جَاءَتْكُمْ جُنُودٌ when the armies came upon you. فَأَرْسَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ رِيحًا وَجُنُودًا لَمْ تَرَوْهَا. And we sent upon them wind. And we sent upon them armies that you could not see. Now how Allah mentioned it, like so short. But if you were in that battle, the wind never come the first day. And that armies that they could not see never come the first day. It was such a time that when digging the trench, before the enemy even reached, if you go for ziyarat, then you won't see the trench, but it remained for a great period of Islamic history. Because it was so huge, it remained, there was no need to close it up after that. It was when roads started being built in recent history that they covered it. Otherwise from that era it remained, it was deep, the trench. There was no need and there was another job to fill it up. It was a miracle in that amount of time to dig such a huge trench. While they were digging, there was no time for eating. There was no time for even istinja. It was at that time when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah has shown me the palaces of Rome and Persia. And they laughed. That you people cannot even go for istinja and he's having dreams. It was at that time. Before the enemy came, there was fear. And when the enemy came, you are looking after that entire line of the trench. You have to carry on moving. They are shooting arrows from one side, but they can't come with their horses over now. But they can jump in and climb up. So you have to be moving one after the other, making sure if anyone is going in, someone to fight him there, someone to fight him. When this one is going to fight, someone is shooting arrows. It wasn't just like we did a trench and now let's rest. After digging the trench, they were already exhausted. While digging the trench, they had no food. They went through such hunger at that time, not because there was no food, because they were far from Medina. They were far from Medina, so there was no one to go say, okay, let's break it half-half. You go for lunch, come back and I'll go. There was no way anyone is going. No way anyone is going. Everyone was digging. At that time, the hunger became so severe that the Sahaba said, when you get extreme hunger, you get a certain heat in your stomach. The Arabs would say that heat can kill you. So to prevent that heat causing further damage, they would tie a stone here. The stone would do two things. It would prevent the body bending. Because that pain, hunger pain, makes the body bend. It would keep it up. And it would create coolness. The Sahabi said, I walked past and I had that one stone on mine. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam lifted up his. And I saw two stones. Two stones means double hunger. That was while they were digging. As soon as the trench was finished, there was no, hey, we did the job, let's have a braai. The battle only started after that. The battle started when they were all exhausted. All exhausted. And it carried on. Until the time came where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on a freezing night, He said, who will go into the enemy camps? So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu anhu, and look how open they were. And this is what the surah will speak about. Thoughts that went in the mind. He even says it was so cold and I was so weak. So we all just kept quiet. And everyone hoping that he doesn't think of me. He says, and he took my name. And he says, when the name was taken, then there's no other option but to say, Labbaik Ya Rasulallah. But they were open that I never want to go. But when Allah's Nabi said, where are you, Hudhayfa? He came. He said, I was shivering. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, will you go in the camp of the enemy? Camp of the enemy is death. It was dark. He said, go and find out what is happening. And then he said, he placed for me, either he gave him a shawl, and Huzaifa radiallahu anhu says, the cold became warmth. He said, just became warmth. And he went into the camp. He said, while I was sitting there, it was dark, and I'm hearing them discussing, and the wind started. It was very, very ferocious winds. And everything was blowing. Pots were being blown. Just before that, a Sahabi came, one of the enemy came into the camp of the Muslims and he said, oh Allah's Nabi, I have come to make Tawbah, I want to accept Islam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Mubarak, but I got job for you, work for you, go back to the enemy. And I want you to do such things amongst them that breaks their unity. When they united, how they united, they were able to unite with even the Jews in Medina. And when Allah wanted them to disunite, you just needed one person from their own people. When Allah's decision of help for this ummah will come, it will come from places you could never imagine. One man, and he went in and caused such confusion. Exactly how it was, I can't recall, but it was something like this. That he goes to the one party, and he says, y'all are Jews in the end of day, and these are the Makkans. You all live here in Medina. You all behind the Muslims. He said, how can you trust those Arabs? Because if this thing doesn't work, they're going to pack up tomorrow and I heard they're leaving. But when they're going to leave, you're going to be stuck. How can you trust them? So he said, then what must we do? He says, you take a guarantee from them. So what guarantee? That we want some of your main leaders. They must be brought here. So that we know if this thing doesn't work, you're not running. We got your men. He said, that's a very good idea. He went that side. He said, you can't trust these Jews. They already went to the Muslims and said, we're sorry what we did. So the Muslims said to them, what did you all do? How could you all do it? We'll only forgive you all now if you bring those Arab leaders to you all. He said, they are going to come and say, we want your leaders. And they're going to hand them over to the Muslims. And this guy, he told the Jews, you're going to go there, they're not going to give. And then the Jews landed up. And they said, we only want some leaders. And they said, we're not going to give our leaders. One man and everything was in disarray. So much of effort. When Allah's decision comes, their own man breaks it all. Huzaifa radiallahu anhu is now sent in the camp. There's a lot of ikhtilaf now. First they were united. And now the winds are blowing and it is getting colder. Pots are being pushed one side and then he hears them talking. That it seems we have to pack up. That group is already gone. That group is already gone. And then someone even said, I sense there's a spy amongst us. It was dark, but... He said, everyone grab the hand of the man next to you and ask him, who are you? So Huzaifa radiallahu anhu says, Allah inspired me. Immediately I grabbed the hand. I said, who are you? So he gave a name. I said, oh, very good. Ask. And then it went round. No one's going to ask him now because he started it. Now we might laugh and think like, hey, what a game this was. But this was real on that day. And inspiration comes from Allah. He was like protected from every side. And then he comes back. This ayah shows that the winds came, the armies came, but it never come immediately. It came after what an exam Almighty Allah said, Izja'ukum min fawqikum. When they came upon you from above, meaning from the front, wa min asfala minkum, from below, meaning from behind. وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ, when the eyes started moving this way and that way. When you got fear, you're just looking, where are we going to get away out? وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرَ, when your hearts reached your throats. Beauty of Quran, this is. The height of fear gripped you. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, and you began having some very funny thoughts regarding Allah. Beauty of Quran, this is. It spoke to Sahaba and it made life easy for all of us. That fear also is a thing of the heart. And thoughts are also a thing of the heart. And when times are not going well, doubts are also a thing of the heart. And when an individual reads this, he will say, even Sahaba got those doubts. وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ, and they also got fear. هُنَالِكَ بْتُلِّيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, at that moment the believers were really tested. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا, they were shaken as though there was an earthquake. So if thoughts and fear and even such thoughts regarding Allah which we can't mention on our tongue came to Sahaba, it means the thought itself is not a problem. Otherwise they would never have got it. It's what happens after the thought. Either it was a hypocrite and they accepted the thought and they gave vent to the thought. وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ, remember the time when the hypocrite said, and those people in whose hearts there was nothing but sickness, they said, مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا, whatever Allah and His Messenger promised us was all lies. That doubt did come to them. That fear, when you have fear, you really think that didn't Allah make this promise? And they gave vent to it. And then they said to the people who had already come from Makkah, they were known as the Muhajireen. They said, لَا مُقَامَ لَكُمْ فَرْجِعُوا, that you all are the problem of all our problems. Why don't you just go back to your lands? And then Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala says, that was the hypocrite. How does the believer talk at such times? Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala said, وَلَمَّا رَأَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ, when the believers saw the armies, they said, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُ, this is what Allah and His Rasul promised. When the hypocrite said they lied, the believer said they spoke the truth. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, Allah and His Nabi were truthful. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانُ وَتَسْلِيمًا, that fear increased their iman. But it was mentioned, وَتَظُنُّونَ, and you had doubts regarding Allah. It means sometimes the devil will blow such thoughts. It's after that, that either you the believer or you the hypocrite. If you give vent to the thought, and you bring it on the tongue which is in our control, then it means it's your thought. And if with the tongue you say something else, then it means that's from the devil, Allah, this is from me. That very thought increases you in iman. When a sahabi complained of what thoughts I get regarding Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that's the sign of iman. The thought itself was not the sign, the thought and to be upset about the thought. مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ رِجَالٌ صَدَقُوا مَا عَاهَدُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ, Almighty Allah says, from the believers are those, they made a promise to Allah and they fulfilled it. فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَ, some have already given their life for Allah. وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرْ, some are waiting to give their life. Fear grips everyone. But do you give vent to that fear? Or do you say whatever happens, happens with Allah? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke about a plague. He said when a plague comes in an area, then that individual who remains in that place, obviously he's going to remain with fear. knowing that nothing can afflict him except that which Allah has written for him. He is a martyr. Ulama wrote on this narration that the narration never said, and he dies in the plague. They said, such an honor is given for this iman that you become a living martyr if you live through it. That you will say, that doctor is a martyr. That one day is a martyr. That old man became sick and they stayed with him. That's a martyr. That's a family of martyrs. Living shuhada. You are a living martyr when you are gripped with fear and still you don't give vent to it. This is the Surah Ahzab. Exam. The closer you get to the Nabi of Allah, the exam gets tighter. Ya ayyuha an-nabiyyu qul li azwajika in kuntunna. The wives of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's exam was then taken. Now the conquest started. The wealth came in. So they made a request to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his wives, that when everyone else is doing a little renovation, and they are now lifting up their life a little bit because of the wealth that's coming, then we as your wives, in our translation, will say we are the queens of Medina. So can we also make a little adjustment in our life? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went quiet. He became upset. It was that me and this world can't live together. So if the world is going to come in your house, then I can't enter that house anymore. But how it was said? It was said, O wives of Allah's Nabi, if you are desirous of the world and the beauty of the world, fata'alain, then come. Umatti'kunna, I will give you and I will separate nicely also. There will be no war. There will be no get lost. It's just that me and your house can't go together. And if you are desirous of Allah and the Nabi of Allah and the year after, then remember Allah has already prepared for the most best of you a unique preparation. But me and you might say, so easy exam. Obviously I'll choose Allah's Nabi. This was not an exam between haram and halal. It was an exam between halal and halal. That 100% halal wealth, but Allah's Nabi can't sleep on that bed that you're going to fold it four times. So do you want that mattress or you want the Nabi of Allah? It was such a difficult exam that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his first wife, who was called Siddiqa, the daughter of Siddiq, Aisha radiallahu anha, he even said to her, don't make a decision now. First make mashura with your father. Because he was so worried that one of the wives and maybe her will say, but what's the issue? It is only halal we're asking for. So he said to her, don't make a decision. And she said, how can you even ask me to make mashura with my father? I choose Allah and the Nabi of me. What a level, but what an exam. Again, we will say it was like an easy exam. Aisha radiallahu anha lived after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for many years. Many years, many years. She was the queen of Medina Munawwara. When her khadimat would look at her dressing, they would say, oh, our mother, everyone else is getting a new garment, and you are still wearing that same old dress. And she would say, I made a promise to the Nabi of Allah that I will find him like how he left me. You'll have to understand this exam. The closer they got, the more harder the exam. One more exam. And it's that's that lesson which comes to all of us. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a cousin, Zainab radiallahu anha. All were desirous that if Allah's Nabi takes that one as his wife. So he spoke to her brother, is your sister interested in getting married? The brother automatically understood that Allah's Nabi is proposing for himself. So even when, obviously she's ready to get married, meaning to you. But it wasn't said to me, it was said, is she ready to get married? Obviously. And her expectations went to the sky. And then when he came back that she's ready, he said, I want her to marry my adopted son. There was nothing wrong with the adopted son, Hazrat Zayd radiallahu anh, but he wasn't the Nabi of Allah. And when your expectations is the son, then if you get the star also, you say, what did I get? Now when the brother had to go back, now there was no run. Now he never know how to face his sister. And to say, hey, I made a mistake. Allah's Nabi wants you to marry Hazrat Zayd. And all that hopes so broken. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنًا. It is not right for a believing man or a believing woman, when Allah and the Nabi of Allah make any decision, أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ, that you have any choice in the matter. Her iman was so strong, she said, if it's not a mashwara, then it's a command, we accept it. To go into a marriage where you were not happy at all, what an exam was taken. And then, the decision of this marriage was made through wahi. And as soon as they got married, they couldn't get it. Nothing was going right. And Zayd radiallahu anh is coming up and down to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this marriage is not working. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling him, try to make it work. This surah was going to give us the lesson. One is, if you close to Allah and the Nabi of Allah, exams will also come your way. The other is, sometimes our people, when we have to make a major decision, and our only major decision in life is, my business must get open, or I must get married. Those are the two times I say, let's make istikhara. Two times. That's when we look, when is the ijtima taking place? So we're going for the ijtima, he says, normally my istikhara works nicely there. Only two times. So the man then, he made that istikhara. And that istikhara means talabul khair, lying, searching for goodness. And he heard that Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who makes mashwara, and the one who then reads the dua that Allah, I ask you for goodness, then he will never see loss. What he thinks it means, he'll never see problems. He'll never see difficulty. Difficulty and problem come everywhere. One great sheikh, I remember once he was giving a bayan, and in his majlis he says, that one friend of mine, because he was speaking about akhlaq with your wife, so he said, my one friend came to me and said, Hazrat, it's very easy for you to talk. Your appa is like an angel. You don't know what we're going through. So then the sheikh said, there's no apa who's like an angel. They're all the same. They're all the same. This exam comes with the highest of istikhara. This was a decision by the Rasul of Allah, marry her. And it never worked. Until finally Zayd radiallahu anhu divorced her. And when he divorced, then all the doors opened up. His honor was given to Almighty Allah, that his name was going to be brought in Quran. Her honor was given by Almighty Allah, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as soon as her iddat finished, entered. She said, I was put my hijab on. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, your nikah to me has been made in the heavens already. The doors all opened. The question was, what was the need of that whole story, get married? One was, there was a custom at that time, that the people all said that your adopted son is like your real son. You cannot marry your adopted son's wife. That's your daughter-in-law. It was a custom and very firm custom. And when Allah's Nabi had to break customs, his own family was always used. But it could have broken in this manner, that he could have said that it's allowed and finished. There was another purpose. It was to show the test of iman. That when the Nabi of Allah said do, then you must be ready to do even if you don't see any benefit. And if you made istikhara and you went through with something, because maybe Sharia told you do it, or you came and you asked the Mufti that, you know, that business of mine, I got my insurance, I paid the premiums, but I heard it's haram. Now why are you asking the Mufti? He says, so what you think, I must stop it? That poor mufti, he starts shivering. Because if he says stop it and tomorrow your business goes down, he knows you'll fire him. You tell him, you pay for my business now. He's not going to answer. So that person said, I'm not going to do haram because Sharia says. And what happens then if that business does go down? Then he will think of Hazrat Zayd and Zainab radiallahu anhu. That when the decision of Allah and the Nabi of Allah came, then there's no choice for man. And even if disaster comes after, I know honor is coming after. And I will wait for that honor. It might come in my own life and I'll see it. That I might be so worthy in the eye of Allah, that if it was that time, I would have been, my name could have come in Quran also. Or it could be I'll be so worthy that you must be the companion of Allah's Nabi. But there can be an exam. The best of the best are tested with exams. You will be tested in the battle of the trench. You will be tested in your own house, even if you are the wife of the Nabi of Allah. You will be tested if you are the cousin or you the adopted son. The one who passes the test is not the one who doesn't see difficulty. Is the one who says, this is what Allah and the Nabi of Allah promised, and they spoke the truth. From the believers are those who remain truthful to Allah. For some of them are those who already died in fulfilling that promise, and others are waiting, ready to fulfill the promise. May Allah Tabarak Ta'ala make us among the people of Iman. Wa akhiru da'wana.